Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Composer Mark Mellitz writes works with titles like Merge Left, Parking Violation, Spam, and this piece, Fruity Pebbles. As you might expect, Mark Mellitz writes works that bring the everyday world into the rarefied setting of the concert hall. His music has been championed by the Kronos Quartet, the Bang on a Can All-Stars, and now he's been given his first shot at an orchestral piece. It's called Brick. And it'll receive its premiere, courtesy of the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, tomorrow night at Carnegie Hall, as part of a major new commissioning project that WNYC was a big part of. Mark Mellitz joins us in our studio today. Mark, good to see you again.
Hi, John. Great to be here.
So you seem to find ways of relating, you know, classical music, which is considered a kind of arcane art by many people, to everyday things, you know, whether it be, you know, going to the DMV to pay a parking ticket or, you know,
something
sugary
familiar.
Breakfast cereals or what have you. Why is that?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to do is give the listeners something to go on with these titles. I mean, for example, this piece, Piano Trio, doesn't really tell you anything more than Fruity Pebbles would, right?
I guess.
So why not give them something that's at least a little bit descriptive so that they can find sort of their own path from that to the music? And there's many ways that you could, you know, envision these titles, say, Parking Violation for the music itself.
All right, so Fruity Pebbles, are we going for something sugary, not so heavy on the fiber, that kind of, in the music there?
Well, I used to tell people because there's many little movements and they're all different color and bowl of Fruity Pebbles.
Okay. Now, you know, there's a kind of a minimalist influence, you know, composers like Philip Glass, Steve Reich, a kind of a strong rock flavor to some of the music, too. We've also spent, like, most of the last month celebrating Mozart's 250th anniversary. Any of that, you know, that kind of period in your music, too?
I think so. The pureness and directness of Mozart, the way it communicates directly with the listener, is certainly something I'm interested in as well.
Well, now, the new piece that you've written is actually for the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra.
Yeah.
They are kind of set up the way a Mozartian orchestra would have been set up.
Exactly.
So a little bit, I mean, that's got to color the music a bit, too.
Sure.
Now, the piece tomorrow is getting its world premiere, so obviously we don't have that to listen to today, but you have brought in something else that's a recent composition.
Sure, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Tight Sweater.
Tight Sweater, yeah. Tight Sweater is for a trio of instruments that's recently formed of piano, which is Andy Russo, cello is Felix Fahn, and marimba, David Kassen. And they consider this sort of the piano trio of the future, as they say. And they commissioned this piece for me, Tight Sweater. You're going to hear the third movement, which is called Mara's Lullaby. Mara's my daughter. She's now about a year and a half. A little background about the piece is every night when I put her to sleep, I always sing her a different lullaby. I just compose different lullabies for her every night. I really do this. some of these melodies stick with her. Like, she will actually start to sing them back to me.
Wow. After one night?
After a few nights. I mean, sometimes I'll repeat them.
Okay. Over,
there are certain ones that she kind of gravitates. This movement has two melodies that she seemed to like. One that kind of used throughout, and then at the end, you'll hear her, like, when she was very little and I would sing to her, she would close her eyes and close her eyes and close her eyes. And right before she fell asleep, her eyes would open up, you know, and then she would be out.
All right. We used to call that the boink look.
The boink. You hear boink. The boink look. All right. Well, you're going to hear the boink look at the very end of the movement.
All right. This is some music from Mark Mellitz on Soundcheck. Thank you. from a piece called Tight Sweater by my guest Mark Mellitz. This movement is called Mara's Lullaby, and, you know, we were talking, Mark, about how a lot of your titles refer to real life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's nice to have a piece of composed music that also has a very kind of pragmatic and practical right. utility, sure. you know? Something to lull your year-and-a-half-old daughter to sleep with.
It works.
So this is performed by a trio that calls itself Real Quiet. It's piano, marimba, and cello.
Yes.
So it's not going to disturb anybody as they're falling off to sleep. Perhaps the same cannot be said for your new piece called Brick.
Yeah.
Seven short movements for the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, a big commissioning project that WNYC was pretty heavily involved with.
Right.
So what have you wrought?
I think in anything that I do, all I'm trying to do is create a small work of art that communicates directly. And that's what I tried to do in Brick. I think Osvaldo said it great. I was listening to his interview. What a fantastic composer, by the way. I have such tremendous admiration for him. He said it great. He said something about appealing to many people, not just people in the know, I think he said, or the insiders. And that's exactly how I feel. And I'm trying to write music that that borrows from a lot of, or not borrows for, maybe has a wider appeal, but doesn't sacrifice its integrity. It's a very difficult thing to do, and it's what I try to do with this piece.
Yeah. I think as someone who sat in the room with all of the Orpheus people and the NPR and the American Music Center, you know, all the people who were in the commissioning project, I guess the thing that impressed me was the idea of taking sort of the language and the energy and the motoric drive of rock and bringing that into the concert hall.
Right.
Without
sounding sort of orchestrated rock.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you been able to do that? I mean, I'm just looking over some...
Well, we'll find out.
Okay. But I'm looking at some of the subtitles. I mean, first of all, where's Brick come from as a title?
It could come from many places. Maybe you can tell me tomorrow if you
hear
it.
All right. Well, but the individual movements have names like Cinderblock Pudding,
right.
Red Hammer, Terracotta Soup.
Right.
So I'm not expecting lullabies out of any of those.
Right. Well, Refrigerator Wisdom is very
Refrigerator
wise
Wisdom.
And quiet.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Red Hammer?
Red Hammer. Yeah, you know, it could have a lot of meanings. And, you know, there's a lot of things going with that. You know, my grandfather's favorite hammer was this. My grandfather was a carpenter, made his own tools. He was my hero in life. And his favorite hammer was his Red Hammer, which I still have today. And
right.
But there's also, the communist meaning from Red Hammer.
Right,
and there's lots of things that you might be able to find. The whole point is to give the listener many ways to find a path from these titles to the music.
I guess for me, a title like that suggests a certain pounding rhythmic.
And you'll hear it from the opening.
Okay.
Of it. Yeah.
So
that's their favorite movement, the group, I think.
Uh-huh. So the titles do somehow reflect the mood or the energy within the piece.
In some way. I mean, it's not usually completely random, though I'll admit sometimes it is.
Okay.
But usually there's something involved there.
Well, I guess one of the things that happens in the classical music world, it's very common the pieces get premieres. You get a commission, you get a premiere. It's uncommon to get further performances after that. Your piece, part of the whole thing with this commission, was to guarantee multiple performances of the work. You've got 15 later performances of this work lined up.
In this month alone. Yeah.
So what is, how significant is that?
Well, in the orchestral world, this is crazy. I mean, this is a great thing. In chamber music, this I think happens a bit more. But for orchestral pieces, it never happens. It's great. It means for me tremendous exposure, and that's all I'm trying to do is just put my music in people's ears and let them decide. And this gives me the opportunity to do that. They're going to play it, like you said, 15 times all over the world.
Yeah. Now, have you ever, faced that frustrating experience of having a new piece, you get it commissioned, it's premiered, and then it's like, well, where did it go?
It happens. It happens because, you don't want to be these pushy composers and, try to call up every group and get them to play. I mean, it does happen. It's a sad thing, but...
Not going to happen to Brick, is it?
I hope not, yeah.
15 performances from Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. Broadcasts on WNYC, live broadcast tomorrow from Carnegie Hall, and then future broadcasts on NPR as well. So the piece will have its shot, a fair shot. Mark Mellitz is the composer. Mark, thanks for being with us today, and we'll look forward to the premiere tomorrow night.
Thank you, John.
That'll do it for Soundcheck today. Monday on the program, What You Don't Know Can't Hurt You, or Can It? The British Musicians Union is pressing broadcasters there to issue a disclaimer when a musical performance is lip-synced. And we'll also have author and singer Jen Trinan. She's written a memoir about her surreal experience of being signed to and then dropped by a major label. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our program is produced by Allison Lichter and Brian Wise. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatau, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. We also had help today from Bess Cargman. I'm John Schaefer. Have a great weekend. Join us at this time Monday for the next Soundcheck.